Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. And Steve, another exciting week here in New Mexico. How are things going for you?
Well, they're going well. We've got a great show this week. I think, first off, we ought to talk about the continuing corruption in the Biden administration. We keep pointing that out, not only is it Hunter, but also it looks like just recently, something like 80-something thousand emails that Biden sent out as vice president, he was evidently using false names for those. Now that gets into a real legal issue. And so we don't know exactly where that's going. The report coming out of Fox News, a guy named Joe Schofstall is the one writing the report, but he talks about the Biden climate czar, John Podesta, meeting with Rivian Automotive CEO Robert Scaringe and a team of his company's lobbyists. You may not be familiar with Rivian automobiles. I wasn't until just recently. Saw a couple in large cities and Googled to find out who in the world is supporting this Rivian automobile, and find out that the largest shareholders include Amazon, Price Row, Vanguard, BlackRock. Those are not lightweights in the financial industry, and yet they're probably going to get your money. They're going to get taxpayer money to support this failed concept of the electric vehicles. If you're watching the internet traffic on electric vehicles, people are speculating that's going to be the next big collapse. Of course, General Motors has got a major vehicle, and I've got a friend who has one of those. To own an electric vehicle is crazy right now because he had the battery go bad in his. Well, they had to send a special shipping container to get the battery out of it and put that in the special shipping container. Then it went back to China. And then you've got just the whole problem with the oil market. Now, that's going to be good for New Mexico, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be bad for the consumers. The World Bank is saying that oil prices could reach uncharted waters if the Israel-Hamas war escalates. So now then you take a look at Biden's practices and his policies up to now. He's used up all of the reserve. We're supposed to have that big petroleum reserve down in Louisiana and the salt beds of Louisiana. And yet he sold most of that to China at very low prices. And so we don't have any reserves. He shut down more and more of our independent production. So when we are faced with the higher oil prices and the higher gas prices, then we really don't have the infrastructure in place to do anything about it. Under President Trump, you might have liked him, maybe you hated Trump, but he had us energy self-sufficient for the first time in decades. And we are also exporting oil under Trump. And that, again, is not occurring anymore because Biden has succeeded in shutting down so much production in the country. So people say, well, I don't drive that much and the price of oil is not going to bother me. But think about this, that the price of oil directly affects the price of food, because all of the agriculture in the world, no matter where they grow agriculture in commercial quantities, they use tractors and tractors use diesel generally. And so when you have a shock in the oil market, you're going to have another shock in prices of food. And that's on top of the inflation that we've already seen in all the food products. And so it's going to be kind of horrific. Now, one of the things that I think is key is the response that Prime Minister Netanyahu gave when the Foreign Press Corps called for a ceasefire, and he's seeing the demonstrations around the U.S. on all the Ivy League college campuses. We even had one of those protests in Albuquerque for supporting Hamas and opposing Israel. So when approached, Prime Minister Netanyahu told the foreign press, he said that I want to make clear that Israel's position regarding the ceasefire, just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. And so that's where he stands, and good for him, because he says that the calls for a ceasefire are basically calling for Israel to cease to exist. And he says, we're not going to do that unilaterally. We're not going to do it on our own. We're going to fight for our future. We're going to fight the terrorists who killed thousands of Israelis in that sneak attack on October the 7th. So we'll see where it goes. All of the Mexico delegation has so far demanded that Israel pause in defending itself. They're not calling on Hamas to cease. They're just calling on Israel to cease. And what they're trying to do is placate both sides. I think that when an elected official says to one, just pause, kind of take the edge off of their political stance. Israel is not the one who initiated the conflict. It's Hamas who initiated it. And Israel simply said, this time we're going to go in and wipe them out. And they're systematically going in and taking out the top leadership before they go in and go door to door to rescue the hostages, but also to take away this threat of Hamas forever. Again, the stakes are huge. And the Iranians are funding a lot of this. And keep in mind that the Iranians have money because Joe Biden gave them the $6 billion back. But on top of that, they had access to $10 billion other dollars that had been made available before Biden gave them the six. But then they've got about $30 billion in extra oil revenues because Joe Biden set aside the sanctions that Trump had put into place. And so you have this tremendous amount of revenue going into Iran, and they're willing to spend it to destabilize the world. And Joe Biden is responsible for all of that. So as you're voting, again, I tell people, if the people come up and they're constantly worried about where things are going and how to stop them, you can stop them by electing someone different. The Democrats are weak on terrorism. Joe Biden, just this week, an article came out how that the illegal aliens from terrorist countries are using Joe Biden's mobile phone app in order to get released. This article that came out on Breitbart this week says that it's pure and simple that mobile app, the CBP One, has allowed tens of thousands of foreign nationals in Mexico to schedule appointments at the southern border for release into the U.S. interior every month. And no one ever knows where they go. They don't know how to track them down. And so these people from the terrorist countries are special interest aliens. They're classified as such due to the national security risk they pose because of their ties back in their home country. And they're not going to show up for these meetings. There's no way to track them once they're released into the interior of the country. You can't find them until they create some tremendous calamity like on 9/11. Then after the fact, we're able to tell, well, these people did this and that. But you don't know who is a real threat and who is coming here to change their life. And the Biden administration makes that possible.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. In just a moment, we'll have some guests on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve?
Let's take a pause here and hear from Carlos, who's going to talk about his change from Democrat to Republican down in Chavez County.
With me on the telephone is Carlos Marujo, candidate for City Council Ward 5 in Roswell, New Mexico. I appreciate you coming on the show, and you have made a change in political parties. Tell us why.
Well, I don't agree with Democrats are standing for, and right now I'm running for city council to try to win that Ward 5. And during the Eastern New Mexico University Fair, I was down there, and I didn't agree with what they were standing for. You walk by the Republican Party, they have really nice and decorated, and they say Republican Party. When I went to the Democratic Party, it said quality. Never said anything about Democrats. And probably the last 10 years, I haven't liked the way the Democratic Party is leaning. I never vote for party. Well, let me back up. I, in my early 20s, I would probably vote straight Democrat. But the Republican Party, I'd vote for the person. I would never vote for the political party. And when I went over there, they stand for men wanting to be ladies, and they want to compete in athletics with the girls, which I don't agree with. And that's what they were standing for, and I just didn't agree with it. And I'll never stand for that.
You're running for Ward 5. Are you running against an incumbent?
I am running against Barry Foster. He's a friend of mine. We get along. But I feel like it was time for new blood to be in there, and I put my name in, and I've been running.
What do you want to do that he's not doing?
Well, one thing I want to see is more things put in for the youth. I mean, it seems like they're doing away with a lot of youth things. When I was a kid, we lived at the Boys Club, and now it's the Boys and Girls Club, and it was $5 a year. Now it's $40 a week. We kind of eliminate a lot of kids here in Roswell. They can't afford that, and we need to do more for our kids here in Roswell, not only in Roswell, but also the state of New Mexico.
For our Democrat friends who might be listening to us now, you're still the same guy you always were, right? It's the Democrat Party that seems to have moved away. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of Democrats in New Mexico.
Right. You're right about that. I don't feel I left the Democrats. I feel the Democrats have left us.
Yeah.
It's something that Reagan said back in early, I want to say 60s, I can't remember, but he didn't agree with them either, and that's the way I feel. I don't agree with them anymore.
Ronald Reagan was a Democrat, and then he switched too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. They left him. He didn't leave them.
Well, I'm talking with Carlos Marujo, who is running for City Council Ward 5 in Roswell. These are nonpartisan elections, but you're changing your party affiliation, and so we want to make that clear that in the city council elections, they're nonpartisan, but your personal preferences have changed.
Yes, sir.
Carlos, I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much.
Our next guest is one that I've known for decades. I used to be a radio reporter in the Silver City area and just always liked going in and talking to him because he was knowledgeable about the issues. Well, now, decades later, he's again making his living talking about and supporting, advocating for American energy in a group called Power of the Future. So welcome Larry Behrens to the program.
With me on the telephone is Larry Behrens, who's the communications director for the Power of the Future, a nonprofit advocacy for American energy. Larry, how are you?
I'm so great, Derek. Great to talk with you.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and telling us what Power of the Future is all about and why it's important for us to use American energy.
It is important. And, you know, it's something that every New Mexican understands, I think, better than people in other parts of the country. I'll call them out. Definitely better than the folks in California. But American energy is made in New Mexico. New Mexico is the second largest oil-producing state. And that not only helps our country economically, it helps us, as we've learned for the last 2+ years, in terms of geopolitical flexibility and in stability and helping us to project power. And if we rely on solely American energy, that helps us with national security, energy independence, and our economy. And so when we talk about what we fight for American energy here in the United States. And it's been a fun fight the last 2+ years.
I've seen statistics showing that electric vehicle sales are kind of falling off. Is that because people are starting to realize I can't go as far and no place to charge it unless I go home?
Well, yeah, there's a litany of reasons. And the one you mentioned is probably the top one. It's a terrible product, right? It works great if you live in an urban area and you just run back and forth to the store to get your avocado toast and you work from home. But if you have a real job and maybe you're on the oil fields or maybe you're a farmer or rancher and you need to drive on, it's just an impractical product. And not only that, it's become a victim of Biden inflation, where we see that the cost is not only dramatically higher than what you see on the sticker, it is massively subsidized. And so it took so many thousands upon thousands of tax dollars to get that car to you at even that elevated price over a comparable internal combustion car. And it's all because of an agenda that's being forced. And, you know, we had the opportunity to do a public records request in the state of New Mexico to find out if the Lujan Grisham administration was walking the walk when it came to electric vehicles. And we found that their state employees, after spending about $3.5 million on electric vehicles, they've driven them less than 1% of the total miles driven by state employees. Even her own administration won't drive one. She won't drive one, but yet mandates it for the rest of us. And that is where I think a lot of New Mexicans say, no, we don't like it. And while we're on the subject, if there's someone who wants to buy an electric vehicle today in New Mexico, there's nothing stopping you. There is no law or no regulation that is stopping you getting from an electric vehicle. But yet, that's what Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham would have us believe. And so when we see that New Mexicans have the freedom to choose what kind of vehicle they want to drive, again, less than 1%, that's a key number because we keep seeing that with EV, less than 1% of the cars registered in New Mexico are electric vehicles. And the ones that are registered are clustered in the places you would think. They're clustered in Northeast Albuquerque and they're clustered in Santa Fe. And so this is not only an assault on the free market, it's an assault on rural Americans. And again, it's a product that she says is so successful that she has to force you to buy it.
So Larry, what do you say to people that say, but there's no carbon monoxide dioxide that comes out of the tailpipe. They're clean.
I think most people, and particularly New Mexico, know that's a lie, right? If emissions is your worry, when you buy an electric vehicle, what you've done is you've just outsourced the emissions. There's been more emissions to get that vehicle into your driveway than by far a comparable internal combustion car. And so, for example, your EV is going to have 6 times the metal or 100 pounds of just copper just for that EV. The amount of emissions it took to deliver that is massive. And so when you take in the downstream emissions that it took to get that electrical vehicle there, you don't see any carbon emission benefit until you drive that EV about 65 to 70,000 miles. And lo and behold, that's the time you got to replace some battery and start the clock all over again. And oh, by the way, that can cost into the tens of thousands of dollars if you're replacing those batteries.
Tell our listeners about Power the Future, how they could find out more information about you.
Sure. They can just head over to our website at any time, powerthefuture.com, and they can send all their hate email to me, larry@powerthefuture.com. I'd love to hear from everyone.
Tell me about what's been going on in the Biden administration as far as electric vehicles.
You know, there's a lot of really interesting things going on. You know, just this weekend, there was a story that came out that John Podesta, you may remember John Podesta from the Clinton years, he was Bill Clinton's chief of staff, and he is a political operative. He is not an energy person in any way, shape, or form, definitely not from an energy state, but he has the history of being a political operative who doles out money. And so that's who Joe Biden put in charge of the $369 billion, with a B, dollars that are in the Inflation Reduction Act. And lo and behold, it was found this week that one electric car manufacturer who is not turning a profit, in fact, they're having massive losses, but yet still receive massive tax incentives, had a meeting. Their CEO and their lobbyist all had access to the Biden administration right up into the White House. And you have to ask yourself, is this how it's going to be? You have these companies that are just nothing but green boondoggles looking at you, Solyndra. And instead of allowing them to fail, Joe Biden learned from that mistake and says, no, we need a massive slush fund. We'll call it the Inflation Reduction Act. And then we'll make them come to us to beg to cut them a check. And then we'll all head to their offices and have a big ribbon cutting and say, this is for the climate. And look how Americans have invested and look how great it is, knowing that it is a massive monetary loser. And I can tell you that the inspector generals in Washington who have looked at how the Inflation Reduction Act is being spent unchecked are raising some serious questions about it. And so that's why I call it interesting. I also think it's interesting that the president and the energy secretary can go to an electric bus manufacturer that she just happens to own stock in, promote that bus manufacturer, she cashes out her stock, and then lo and behold, the company goes bankrupt because, again, they couldn't survive without massive government mandates. And so there is a lot of opportunity there, and that's even before I mention the name Secretary Deborah Haaland. It's really amazing, isn't it, that Secretary Haaland just so happens to be issuing regulations and rules that are in line with what these radical eco-left groups want. And so you have to, again, ask yourself, why are they getting this special access? And why is it going through regulation and rule? Why can't, if she wants to take some land off the chart for oil and natural gas development, then she has to run it through Congress? Because she knows it wouldn't work, because she knows Americans are tired of paying at the pump, so they quietly pass these, executive edicts and then force us all to live with them. And that's how they come after nearly every appliance in our house. And sadly, that's what Michelle Lujan Grisham has learned as well. Her EV mandates are not something that went through the legislature. She is just unilaterally deciding that this is how it's going to be. I'm going to take internal combustion engines less and less out of the equation. And she'll say, well, it's just so that New Mexicans have more choice in what they're buying with their EV. By forcing you to only focus on one product, that is the exact definition of less choice. And so when we talk about what these administrations are doing, we find that not only are they spending record amounts of money to prop up this false agenda, but they're also doing it in a way that makes them less and less accountable through orders and edicts that a lot of the general public doesn't get a chance to see.
Larry, I appreciate your time. Larry Behrens from the Power the Future, which is a nonprofit organization that advocates for American energy. And give us the website one more time.
Sure, just powerthefuture.com. Thanks so much for having me.
I'll be right back with more from the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearce, in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. And Steve, in our first segment, you had said people are asking you what they can do to solve these problems we're having in the country these days. And you had said, change the way you vote. Vote for somebody different. What else do you tell
them? The second thing that I tell them is listen to David Mamet. He's a playwright, a Jewish playwright, and he says, plain and simple, Jews should stop voting for Democrats. He said his fellow Jews need to get together instead of going to meetings to discuss how bad it is. They need to take action. What I suggest in the article is, he continues, Thanksgiving's coming up. When your kids come home from college, don't send them back. He says stop funding the anti-Semitic hatred and calling it, oh, it's a good place to meet people. So the hatred against Jews on college campuses is getting frightening to many of the Jews. In fact, some of the groups are now then giving concealed carry lessons to Jews who've never owned a weapon before. Rabbis who are teaching guns and self-defense to the Jewish community say that they're going to have to be responsible for protecting themselves, because you can imagine that the police would show up, and if there is a big public demonstration, they'll stand back exactly like they did in the BLM demonstrations. And so the Jews are justifiably worrying about where in the world they're going to get their protection from. And many in the Jewish community are saying, train yourself and protect yourself.
It's a good thing, Steve, they don't live in New Mexico, or our governor wouldn't let them arm themselves.
Yeah. And so again, we've had those terrorists in New Mexico convicted of terrorist activities. And yet our governor takes guns away from rightful owners rather than going in and trying to do anything to stop that Taos compound from becoming a terrorist organization. They've been thriving while she's looking the other way. But I think that we have to deal with the Gabe Vasquez bills that he introduced. He's made a big splash about it, but it's almost laughable, because you know that Vasquez knows that he's in trouble. He can see the polls the way anybody else does. So he comes out with these sweet-sounding bills. Stop the coyotes from targeting young women and our kids. And so he says that he's going to make it against the law to be a coyote and target kids.
Isn't that already against the law?
It's already against the law. And the coyotes stay in Mexico. They get people to the border. They have taken their money already. A lot of times they've raped the young girls and the females. And so Gabe Vasquez is okay with that as long as they don't do it here in the U.S. Many times they do it here in the U.S., but there's nobody that's going to catch them or prosecute them. They're not catching any of the millions of people that are coming across the border. And so his bill is almost laughable. Then he talks about his $570 million to hire more people. Well, the people are being told to come here, and it's the flood of people who are creating the overload on the department. The department under President Trump had as secure a border as you can get. That's because Trump insisted that Mexico stop the traffic through their country. Joe Biden doesn't bother with that. And in fact, he sets his mobile app up to where people can use their phone to figure out how to get here and use that CBP-1 to get here without anybody stopping them. But nothing he does is going to secure the border. And so as we're talking about the people coming in, the thousands who have been released that are from terrorist countries and have they've been identified as special interest aliens, his bills do nothing to stop that. And so we've had this influx of people who are bringing fentanyl, killing our kids. We talked in last week's program how more than 100,000 Americans have died just in 2022 on fentanyl. And yet Vasquez does nothing about any of that. So basically what he's doing is putting out a thing to run for re-election on. And what we need to do is just get people to vote for Yvette Herald. She's the obvious choice in that second district of New Mexico. And so as we wrap up the program today, I would like to just say that Thanksgiving is coming up very soon. For me, I'm always thankful for being in this country. I know we've got a lot of problems, but every country in the world has got problems. I am especially thankful for our new speaker. I know Mike Johnson personally, served with him. He was on the same committee that I was on. And so you get to watch people in action very closely when you serve on the same committee. He is a person of principle. He's calm. He's sincere. He's an attorney who has defended traditional marriage. He's defended pro-life issues. He's a constitutional scholar. He is a constitutional attorney. And so I think that he has a lot of conservative credentials. I think that's what the caucus really needed, is someone who would know and be able to negotiate one-on-one with the president and his advisors. And Mike Johnson is the guy who can do it. I really appreciate that he kind of came off the back bench also. He had not worked his way up through any of the leadership positions. He was definitely recognized for having a good, strong voice and a lot of courage. But I think that it was refreshing to see his election and see the entire Republican caucus united to support him. So again, we wish Mike Johnson well in his role as speaker. And with that, Derek, we'll say to people, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Steve. And if you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. And we'd like to thank the radio stations around the state that bring you Inside New Mexico. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.